Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
I don't push to the point of insanity. I don't think I'm ever going to prolapse.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus! Like,
yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
As long as I get a laugh and you get a laugh, I think we've been successful, so.
If that was my grandmother, you son of a bitch! She didn't splatter like a bag of meat!
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends. And hello and welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. Finally, I guess, is fair to say. I am Joey, your host, one of your hosts, and with me is the Michael DeSanta to my Trevor Phillips.
That's not inaccurate.
On topic and accurate, what a fucking start. What a return of the podcast. This is, if you're listening to this is episode 31 of our podcast, episode 31, to meditate or masturbate. I like the title. So.
I like the title. It works.
We're talking about Grand Theft Auto 5, and to a lesser extent, or to a certain extent, Saints Row 3. I think I'm gonna not talk about the ending, but for the most part, I'm gonna talk about a fair amount of the game. So
the ending's not really important for the kind of discussion we've talked about. So
yeah. We're gonna skip the ending. So if you're still playing it, and you know whatever, or if you don't care about the game, that's fine too.
And we'll try to little lightly with the spoilers. We won't be like just blatant like, but some will happen for sure.
Yeah, for the record, I finished the game. This is, we're recording on December 13th, and I finished the game 3 days after it came out in September, so I forget what day it came out, but yeah.
It's been at least a month and a half since I beat it, I think.
Wow, Jesus, we really need to get better on recording these. Speaking of getting better at recording these, I really need to get us into the discussion. So yeah, let's talk about Grand Theft Auto 5. Okay. So, what the fuck?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it less in retrospect after playing another game we'll talk about shortly. But I still enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as 4. I thought the story was not anywhere near as compelling. But the gameplay and stuff I thought was all amazing. A variety of missions were great. All the side stuff was fun. Like I had a ton of fun playing the game. It's just the story didn't compel me as much as other Grand Theft Autos have. Or even close to Red Dead Redemption, which is in the conversation because it's another open-world Rockstar game.
Well, yeah. I think I saw a lot of people, now that the console cycle is ending, people are like, oh, yes, you know, these are the best games that came out on the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3 or, you know, consoles.
Yeah.
A lot of people tend to rank Grand Theft Auto 5 above Red Dead, and I'll get that right out of the way. If you love Red Dead, go listen to that episode, and we'll gush about it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I fucking love Red Dead, and I love Red Dead, and I'm always going to love Red Dead, and I'm always going to love Red Dead more than Grand Theft Auto 5 and more than Grand Theft Auto 4. I think both of those games have their...
Probably true. Yeah, definitely true, because I didn't want to go back and just live in the world of Grand Theft Auto 4. I got 100% on Red Dead entirely, like both that and Nightmare, whatever it was. Like, I was... Oh, God, I love that game. Anyway, that's another podcast. We've done that already.
Yeah, we've done that podcast.
Done that, we could gush all over again in Red Dead Redemption. That's how good it was.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll throw it right off the bat. I'm not. I don't mean to shit all over the game because I'm gonna. I mean,
it's a very good game, and I don't think I've seen lots of Game of the Year for it, and I don't think that's. I mean, I don't play as many games as you do at all, but yeah. I think it's a good enough game to be in contention for Game of the Year at least, even though I haven't played a ton of them this year. Because it is that good in terms of mechanics and all sorts of other stuff aside from the story.
Yeah. I think it's one of those games where if you didn't give it Game of the Year, you're being an asshole. In the same way that I feel like I'm being an asshole because I'm saying bad things about this game. It really does seem like that kind of game where you shouldn't ever, you know, utter a word against it. This podcast is probably going to be about 2 seconds of praise, or you know, maybe a little bit of praise, but mostly criticism of the game because it's a modern game with modern problems. It's two white male protagonists and one
stereotype.
No, all right, fuck it, whatever. So basically you have three dudes with guns, and they're going and just killing everybody, and there's really not a whole lot of... Nothing makes a whole lot of sense. There's no overarching story, really, that ties everything together. It's mostly a bunch of vignettes of where a character will go do something. Other characters will have to deal with that. And then they sort of... It's supposed to be a game about the relationship between these three guys. But really, only two of them have an established relationship. Nothing really makes a whole lot of sense, is basically what I'm saying.
The mentor-mentee thing between Michael and, name escapes me, Franklin, was not great. Like, I liked Franklin a lot. I liked Michael a lot. But I never really bought that, it was just sort of there as an excuse to bring them together, but it never really touched upon, I think, sufficiently.
I think that the idea was that they never thought they needed to. If you look back at the whole history of Rockstar, you look at even Grand Theft Auto, the original top-down Grand Theft Auto, you quickly see that the guys who run Rockstar don't want to make a game about the thing that they want to make a game about. That's what's so different about fucking Red Dead, because Red Dead's not Rockstar North, it's Rockstar fucking San Diego or
right.
The Coast One. Drawn a blank on this, and I apologize for that. But they wanted to make a game about somebody, mm-hmm. about John Marston. He is a archetype. He is the Western archetype. He is the Western Superman. He can fire a million bullets in a minute. He can hit everything he aims at. He can do all these amazing things, but he can't be a good father. Or he's trying to be a good father, but he fails at it. He can't do what he sets out to do because he puts so much effort into being a man and doing these manly things. You can contrast that with a character like Michael DeSanta, and you quickly see, or even Trevor or Frank, you quickly see, like, what do these guys do? Like, it's never really clear what these guys do besides just, like even Michael brings up the point.
He likes old movies. He sits on his ass drinking scotch and watching old movies. That's what Michael does.
But there was specifically a point of where the very early on in the game, his boat is stolen, mm-hmm. and Franklin asks him, why do you miss that boat? And he's just like, I don't like going out on the boat. I just like looking at it. Like, that's what I like, to just sit and look at things and admire things like that. It's just like, I don't know what to say. And really, with all of the game, they did clever things, making Trevor a reflection of the player. Trevor is mm-hmm. definitely what the people at Rockstar imagine who you, the player. They imagine that's how you're going to act. You're going to run around, be crazy all the time, shooting everything up, blowing things up. And
maybe because I'm definitely not that guy. Like, I know lots of people come over, like, will play Grand Theft Auto, just fire it up, and then cause mayhem and just fuck around for an hour. And I can't do that. That's not what I play it for. So I don't, like, maybe I didn't identify with Trevor enough. I thought he was fun. He was certainly more interesting than Michael and Franklin. But I don't know.
He's a deeper character,
yes.
well, I think, than either one of them.
Oh, for sure.
He's the only one I can actually say that I could figure. He lives in a world. He has his own little world that he lives in.
He's almost the most sympathetic too.
I think he is the most sympathetic, hands down, of all of them. I started off loving Michael because I felt early on bad for Michael when I didn't really know him. He seems like an okay guy. He did what he had to do for his family. He is trying in some way, it seems, at first. But then you just kind of see that he just doesn't change, and he just repeats the same cycle over and over and over again. And that's what I mean about this game being a modern game with modern problems. I don't mean just that it's the modern problems of a modern, third-person open-world shooter, where it has, like, a massive scope and unclear goals about what it wants to do. Like, when we first started talking about this, I mentioned to you there's a mission where you have to break into a building, and so you scuba dive, mm-hmm. For a bit, and then you have to, like, weld open a grate. And there's a whole little, like, mini game with its own mechanics or whatever of how to weld open this grate, and then you never weld open another grate again. There's a point in time when you're mopping a floor. All these things help a little
bit. Forgot about the floor mopping.
Yeah, all of these things help a little bit. Well, I didn't do the floor mopping personally. I did the other part.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I would never know. Anytime a game says to me, like, do you want to mop a floor or do you want to, like, blow up a building? It's like, fucking, I want to parachute and blow up a building. Like, you fucking nuts? Like, I didn't pay you for floor. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think that's the beauty of Red Dead versus the kind of modern harsh reality of Grand Theft Auto 5 is that when I got Red Dead, I got Red Dead because I wanted to play a game about a cowboy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go through all of my favorite cowboy movies and see all like oh, it's this is like the Wild Bunch, like, oh, this is fucking like this shit's like Peckinpah all over the place, like it's that kind of game. And in the same way that I kind of approach Grand Theft Auto 5, like the main reason I wanted to play Grand Theft Auto 5 is because I want heat. And I think that's the same reason why the fucking Housers, the guys who are in charge of Grand Theft Auto franchise, they fucking love that movie. It's obvious. You play any fucking Grand Theft Auto game, they love heat. They absolutely fucking love Michael Mann, and they love that.
Oh, they definitely love Michael Mann.
Yeah, they on the street firing like crazy, heists and blowing up armored cars and all those sorts of things. But it has to go somewhere. It has to do something. And in Red Dead, it into John Marston's family life. It went into John Marston's personal life of how he interacts with people. It went into his private John Marston time where he's out alone out on the plains and there's nobody out there, and it's this whole, I mean that's what reinforces the beauty of Red Dead, this whole thing you're doing for your family. Yeah, in Grand Theft Auto
of Grand Theft Auto 5 was everything happened because he was an asshole. Like, he drove his car into the shop and then Franklin followed him because of that, and that was because he was being an asshole. So if it had handled like a responsible adult, he handled like an asshole. Like, he handled this heist like an asshole. That's why Trevor found him out. All this stuff is because Michael was an asshole.
But that is the modern day life, that we don't really have arcs anymore. I feel like most stuff, it's just navel gazing. It's not really, we don't really care about arcs. We don't care about changing. We don't care about this grand. And also, Grand Theft Auto 4, even though it was a modern game set in its modern time, it was still slightly distanced from what it was about, because Grand Theft Auto 4 was about an immigrant coming to America during 9/11, during the post 9/11 time. You could say there's an arc there because you come wanting revenge. It's all wrapped up in that whole post 9/11, like, fuck, you know, fuck terrorism and kind of fuck America as well. Like, really, fuck everything is sort of the whole theme of Grand Theft Auto 4.
Pretty much.
But at least it makes sense. There's clear characters. There's clear goals everyone seems to have. Everyone wants something because there's a material worth to things. I think there's a tangible worth to things in Grand Theft Auto 4. People kill over money because fucking money solves problems. Money is fantastic. That's the problem with Grand Theft Auto 4, I guess, or that's the conflict in Grand Theft Auto 4, is do you value money or do you value your friends and connections? And no matter which way you go, you're technically not wrong, because whatever you do, America's gonna eat you up, because that's what we do. We're a nasty country. It's a very cynical look at America, but it's fucking at least accurate in the context of Liberty City and what's going on there. It just comes off, Grand Theft Auto 5 just comes off as just kind of cynical and mean at times, because it doesn't really, it's to no end. You know, they make fun of hipsters all the time, and who makes fun of hipsters? But it doesn't really ever feel like it's making fun of hipsters for a purpose. It's not saying, like...
But it's still taking itself too seriously to just be off-the-wall craziness.
Yeah, that too. Which, conversely, I guess you... Saints Row 3, which you played, and that's sort of why you...
I had always thought, like, Joey had played Saints Row 3 years ago now, because when it came out, he talked about beating who up with dildos. I was like, oh, that sounds silly. But it didn't sound like fun. I thought he was just playing with the, like people do in Grand Theft Auto 5, where they just fuck around with mayhem and just go nuts. And I thought that's what you were doing in Saints Row 3. I didn't realize that all the things you were doing were actual parts of the story. I only realized that because Saints Row 3 was available for free for PSN Plus, so I bought it and played it and fell completely in love. Because it's insane. And, like, I think Grand Theft Auto 5, they had all these interesting set-piece ideas, so they figured out a story to string them all together. In Saints Row 3, they had the same idea, but the set pieces were insane. It was diving out of planes in tanks and shooting things, and, like, it's ridiculous. There's a zombie infestation. Like, it's nuts. And I love it for being completely nuts. They kept going in the craziest direction possible, and it was the best for it. And the gameplay is way worse than Grand Theft Auto 5 or 4, because I guess 4 is the closest comparison. Like, all the gameplay stuff is not as good as 4 or 5.
No, no.
But it's so much more fun to play! Like, I just want, like, I wanted to get 100% on the... take over all the areas. I wanted to find all the packages. I didn't want to live in the world, really, because it's a crazy world to live in. But I wanted to keep playing the game that this world takes place in. So I kept finding more stuff to do until I finished it. And it was, it's just so much fun. Which I can't say about Grand Theft Auto 5.
Okay, I will say that...
Or 4. Well, 4 I can, sort of.
I think that all 4, 5, and Saints Row 3 are all fun games. I'm not gonna...
Yes, but yeah. If I had one word to describe all of them, Saints Row 3 would get fun. 5 and 4 would not get fun.
That's fair. I think the thing about...
It would be 4th or 5th for either of them, but like it's still there. It's just not top.
Yeah, that's sadly accurate. Yeah. I'm trying to backpedal a little bit on my sort of shitting all over Grand Theft Auto 5, because I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto online.
Yeah, and I've heard lots of people say that's just as fun, if not more, than the story mode, which is all I played. I only played single player.
It shows that they focused really hard on mechanics and making the world feel like it was real enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Red Dead, they clearly made it seem like this is a town. You know, this is Armadillo. This is... I'm drawing a blank like
it's
an asshole.
It's been a very long time.
Chuparosa. It's been a long time too. I actually have the map up fucking behind me. I'm just not turning around to look at it. But there's that's the thing. I still have the map of fucking Red Dead on my wall. I think that speaks volumes about how much I love that game and how much that world still means something to me. I mean, it's still something there. Anytime I ever played Grand Theft Auto 4, I would just say real life. Think like, oh, I'm next to, you know, the George Washington Bridge, or I'm next to, you know, this, or I'm going across, you know, a Central Park right now. I would never say the in-game names because I never learned
sure.
I don't really care. And then that kind of gets even worse in Grand Theft Auto 5, of where I kind of know where I'm going. I guess I could drive around.
I've driven in LA a few times now. It does feel like that. Like one thing I did really thoroughly enjoy is it felt like driving around Southern California.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But I don't really with people I know who live in California and have lived in California, I can't really say, hey, I'll meet you at the blank.
No, it's not quite like that at all.
Yeah, there's even when there are landmarks in the game, like the Maze Building is a pretty clear landmark in the game. That's its actual in-game name. But if I say to someone, hey, I'll meet you at the Maze Building, most people just go, I don't fucking understand. The Union Depository is a major story point. And even if I say to somebody, hey, I'll meet you by the Union Depository, it's still like, yeah, it's kind of a big area because it's a big building and there's, you know, where in that area. I'll find you, basically. Quickly turns into, I'll find you. And, the mechanics pay off online. It's super fun to play Deathmatch and all those things online. It's fun to do races. I mean, I've spent a lot of time doing parachute jumping and races and survival missions and missions online. But again, they all fall flat. It's a game where I love it when I'm playing it. I have a lot of fun. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it when I'm playing it. But then I step away from it for even a second, and I immediately start to regret the fact that I'm kind of playing the game, because it feels empty. And I think it's meant to feel empty, which is what fucking...
Yeah, it is. It definitely... I mean, it definitely talks about feeling empty.
That's
a lot. But it's a problem when your game feels that way, even deliberately, if so. Like, because that's not... You're playing for too long to get... Like, it's fine for a movie to make you feel that way, because it's 2 hours, you're in and out, you're done.
Yeah.
For 10, 12 hours, whatever. Maybe more, I didn't keep track. But, like, plenty... Way more than two... You're in this world that is just cynical as hell. it's not as... And I really liked Nico in Grand Theft Auto 4, so I could hang on to him. I never really liked Michael, Trevor, or Franklin.
Yeah, like I said, at first I was sympathetic towards Michael until I kind of understood what he was about and then kind of hated him, or at least disliked him.
Sure. I never hated any of them.
Yeah, I never hated any of them. Franklin's just there. I mean, I think he's your obligatory, like, you're new to the game.
Yeah. I mean, I was bored by, like, it was when Trevor showed up the first time. I was like, oh, this guy's so much more interesting than the others two. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I had fun for a while, and I got hooked into Trevor, because he's much more interesting. And then they got so much Trevor, like, okay, I need a little less Trevor now.
Yeah, see, I had the complete opposite reaction. I felt that Trevor was immediately over the top and wanted nothing to do with him. I was like, give me back Michael and Franklin, those are more... Because I tend to play Grand Theft Auto like a professional. I don't drive around running people over. I actually, when the game finished...
I'm the worst driver in these games.
Yeah, it's the thing. The game gives you a psychological profile right. at the end of the game. And I basically came out with... I know it's fucking random because I played all three endings, so I know that it just generates a random profile. Sure. But like pretty much all of them, it, through the randomness, pretty much had like sociopaths. I never go to strip clubs. I'm extremely accurate when I can be. If when I can't be, I will fire. There's one mission alone where I probably fired 500 bullets in one mission. I have no problem with that. I'm okay with myself now. I'm secure in that in video games where I don't save up bullets. I don't save up the ultimate weapon anymore. I'm just like, nope, I'm using it on this mission and I'm never going to look back. And that's what it is. That doesn't really exist in Grand Theft Auto, which is also a comforting feeling, which is that I can just fire 500 bullets and go to the store and just be like, I would like 500 more bullets, please. And they're like, here you go. But that transition to Trevor was jarring to me at first. I didn't really like it. And then over time, Trevor became the sympathetic character to me, to the point where I felt really bad that at the end of the game, I like I said, I had no lap dances. I'd never gone to the strip club besides...
I never did either.
Yeah,
I honestly didn't know you could. Like, I never even thought about it. It didn't cross my mind a second. I was just like, oh, this is where he works. I'll go there to get my missions and then move on with my life.
Yeah, it's very weird. All of the side things just feel... I mean, I tried doing yoga, and I tried developing my stats and everything, but it just all feels like grinding. And
I mean, you end up developing your stats anyway. Like, I'm chasing someone down, eventually my stamina hits 100. From driving enough, your stats hit 100. Like, all those things happened anyway.
Well, I think this kind of explains how I play, which is that for most of the stats, like driving, they kind of just hit 100 on their own, because I love driving, and I'm okay with that. I'm mostly into motorcycles in those games, again, because I like precision and hiding and fast things and things like that. Also like fiscal responsibility, and I think motorcycles represent that. But I did most of them normally. I did do flight school because I think that was the fastest way to do that, and I just kind of went through what the game gave me. But when it came to every single character, I spent probably an hour with each character just doing the target shooting.
Because I never went target shooting, and I only flew with Trevor, so I didn't have to do flight school. I was like, nah.
Nope, I made sure every single one of my characters was a professional criminal. Like, I really made sure that every bullet, you know, one shot, one kill, I'm very clean with those sorts of things. And it's not how you play Grand Theft Auto. It's not how most people play Grand Theft Auto. And I get that, and I'm okay with that. For some reason, I felt that the game reinforced that playstyle. It reinforced that calm and confident way of going through the game, and then my characters would freak out in cutscenes, and then I have...
That's been a problem since what's the cop game? I mean, it's been a problem all the time, but the what was that? L.A. Noire was the worst example of, like, the story's gonna happen no matter what you do.
Yeah, obviously, we've talked about this before. I fucking hate L.A. Noire, and I guess...
But I'm lucky because I played, like, that guy from Mad Men. Like, I feel like I played the character as they hoped. And anyone who played slightly off was like, oh, this is ridiculous. This is not what I'm doing.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Is I will never play a game as intended. I don't like playing a game as intended. I'm the guy who drives backwards a lot. I do ridiculous things because I can. I like pushing boundaries. I like playing the physics engine. I like doing those sorts of things. I don't really like the direction that games are moving in, where it says pick A or B and do that, instead of just saying, here's a building, go attack it. And I know that they really didn't want to do that, because the way the heists work, the way that a lot of missions work, you have to be kept on a very short leash.
Yeah.
Because they thought it was better to focus on things like welding a grate or something.
To be fair, that welding a grate game would be a lot easier to implement than a completely open world situation where you could just attack anything however you wanted to the entire time.
Yeah.
The degrees of difficulty between the two are massively different.
Wanted to make that game, you could.
But it'd be much harder to do any kind of compelling story with it.
Yeah, and I think that's where fucking Saints Row 3 comes in, which is that it just says, here's a fucking obstacle, overcome it.
Yeah.
Like you said to me that you were playing Saints Row 3 and you were like, oh, like, what do I do in this, you know, this mission? Like, this is very tense. And I remember playing that exact same mission because I had taken the giant fists that allow you to turn people into jelly when you punch them and punch cars down the street like the Incredible Hulk. My mission was entirely different because I just fucking hulked my way through the mission and just complete jackass. And I remember spending a lot of time in that game doing wrestling moves on zombies and things like that. And I still stand by that the mechanics are more fun. Explosions and killing and violence and horrible things are way more fulfilling to me in Grand Theft Auto 5 because I feel like I work for them.
Yeah.
Whereas in Saints Row 3, I feel like the game has a button called the awesome button. It's getting you to work very hard to do awesome things. That is the whole point of Saints Row 3.
I still didn't know I could dropkick into a car until you told me.
Yeah. Which was
at which point it's all I did.
Yeah.
But I wish I could only have done that the entire game.
That's the only way I would enter a car after I learned that. Like, I figured that I was like
even really tall cars. I jumped up 10 feet in the air and dropkicked in. Was the best.
And that's the weird thing about Saints Row 3 is that I can definitively say that Saints Row 3 makes more sense than Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh sure.
Because the rules and the things that are the what very few rules there are, at least they're clearly stated in Grand Theft or in Saints Row 3, and you have to go do them. There's a gang you don't like. Whatever will you do to that gang you don't like? You're gonna kill them and humiliate them is what you're gonna do. Like that is, or humiliate and kill depending on the mission.
Yep.
That's what you do. That is entirely what you do. That's the story of the game. If you want to know what Saints Row 3 is about, it is Naked Gun, or if you were a big fan of the Naked Gun movies, Soul Plane, and with a lot of violence and a very straightforward, there's a bad guy, he's trying to hurt you, you go kill him. How do you go kill him? Well, there's a series of missions that's going to get you to the point of where you're going to kill a whole bunch of people, and then you're going to go kill the bad guy.
Usually in the silliest way possible.
Almost always in the silliest way possible, and that's totally fine.
Oh, it's the best.
It at least makes sense for what it is. It's a power fantasy that is entirely, and then the game embraces that from fucking minute what, like 50, when you parachute into the you parachute into a penthouse killing everybody from the air to Kanye West's power.
Yep.
The game knows it's a power fantasy and says, we get it, we understand it's a power fantasy. But it's also a fantasy. I mean, based on depending on what ending you get of Saints Row 3, you will see that it's also a joke. It's a huge joke, and it's a fantasy, and it's a fantasy world. But the game never fucking faults you for being in that fantasy world. It never faults
you. No, it totally enjoys it. It's like sort of like the Marvel movies versus the DC movies. Marvel knows they're making a superhero movie, so they make it a goddamn superhero movie. Whereas DC's trying to make a very realistic, grim and gritty version that is not superhero-y at all.
Yeah. I would even say it goes a step further than that, which is that in DC movies, they never, at least in the DC movies I've seen, they've never looked at the screen and said, you're an asshole for liking this stuff. And that's constantly, you listen to the radio in Grand Theft Auto, as much as I fucking love the radio in Grand Theft Auto 5, I the whole J.B. Smoove, Dr. Ray, and Linda, or whatever his nurse is, best fucking time I've had in Grand Theft Auto 5 is just driving around listening to the talk radio and listening to J.B. Smoove's crazy yoga instructor maniac that he doesn't. Fucking great. And again, that's what's fucking weird about it is that it feels like an experience I could have gotten on YouTube by watching someone drive around or leaving that on the background. Like it sounds like a really funny podcast. And in a world where there are lots of really funny podcasts, it's not as novel as it used to be. All of these things are nowhere near as novel or interesting as they used to be.
I listen to Comedy Bang Bang once or twice a week now.
Yeah. The stuff in Saints Row is novel, I think it's fair to say, because they just go over the top with things. They let you do things that no other game will let you do, for better or worse, and that's fun and interesting. Grand Theft Auto 5 still just, I mean, there is an entire character in Grand Theft Auto 5 that is specifically made to make fun of me. It's just so fucking cynical and so fucking meaningless when it comes down to it, because every single character makes fun of somebody and is looking down on somebody. Everyone is constantly looking down on one another, and it's so fucking scarily accurate. It's like a game representation of a day I see, like, of just fucking people's Twitter updates. Like, that's that's Grand Theft Auto 5, and it's, I don't want to play that. I want to play your game because the mechanics are fucking solid. I love playing that game. I want to do heists with my friends in Grand Theft Auto Online. I want to do heists in the game. I want to.
Yeah, it's an extremely well-crafted world that I don't really want to be in.
Exactly. It's at least the benefit that they had with Grand Theft Auto 4 and Red Dead were they had distanced themselves enough, especially fucking Red Dead, time period that when you make a joke about, you know, a heroin addict, you know, Chinese rail worker, you could make it dark and cutting and horrible, and you can clearly say, we can do better than this, and here's, and it's just basic humanity, decent human decency is how we do better than that, whereas you really don't have that in Grand Theft Auto V. I mean, the game ends, to not really get into any spoilers, but no matter how the game ends, it ends with very little resolution because there's no fucking arc. Yeah. There's nothing for any of the characters. No one changes. No one does anything. Everyone just becomes themselves more. And it's, yeah, maybe that's a great take on California and modern day life if everyone, all we're doing is we're just becoming more cynical, horrible versions of ourselves, and we're just deteriorating, and even when we do get our actual, because Michael achieves his dream of becoming a movie producer, and it brings him no happiness whatsoever, and it just all feels empty. They have takedowns on Scientology. They have, you know, takedowns on, you know, social media and you know, America's Got Talent and all these, you know, fucking reality TV shows and reality TV show personalities and aging celebrities and you name it, this game has it. It has everything you could ever want. And it's simply amazing based on the fact that it has fucking everything you could possibly want in a game like this. But then you don't really... I don't really feel like I want it anymore. Like, are they trying to make me play outside? Like, I don't know.
Well, like, I'm a lot more interested in playing Saints Row 4, which I have, than I am in playing Grand Theft Auto 6 at this point. I think I'm not going to pounce and get Grand Theft Auto 6 right when it comes out again, I don't think.
Oh, you will.
I don't know. Like, now I've played Saints Row. Unless Saints Row 4 shits the bed, I'm gonna be like, no, I'm good with that. I can play Saints Row 5 instead. I mean, but it'd have to really shit the bed for me to like want to forget that entirely because I love Saints Row 3 that much. And like, I'm sure I'll play Grand Theft Auto 6 at some point. I'm just not sure if I'll play it with quite the urgency as I wanted to get into Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, we've both said it is still a great game.
It is.
But it's just not. I don't know. I'm ready to see more Red Dead or something entirely new. Like, I loved Bully. Bully was a great game. It was new and interesting, and not many people talk about it. And it wasn't the best game they've made by any stretch, but it was still fun and different and interesting. And Grand Theft Auto V did not feel fun and different and interesting anymore.
Yeah, what fucking game could you even compare to Bully? I mean, what other game that's come out in the last even 5 years?
It couldn't come out now. There's no way it could come out now. At least to make it the way it has to be, which is basically that, what was that movie? The Dirties. Okay. You'd have to make it like The Dirties, which is way too dark and unacceptable to play as a video game. There's no way.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting movie, and I recommend it.
But that's why games like Pop! OEO exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad now saying like, oh, there's no games out there that can compare to Bully. No, there's no games out there that can compare to Bully that are coming from AAA studios.
Yeah.
There's lots of games that can compare to Bully that are coming out through indie developers, and I think that's also a reflection of maybe Grand Theft Auto V was just a wake up call to say to me, hey, maybe you should be playing more indie games. Maybe you should spend more time playing.
That may be part of it, too. Like, I've fallen a lot harder on indie games than I have before Grand Theft Auto 4 came out, that's for sure. And I've seen Journey, and I've seen Fez, and I've seen all these games that blew my mind, and Grand Theft Auto 5 couldn't compare. Like, there's no way it compares in terms of, like, emotional excitement I got from it.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, it's because it's, like, it's Avengers versus Francis Ha, or, like, it's comparing apples and oranges, really. They can't to spend the kind of money they spent on Grand Theft Auto 5, which is, as far as I know, the most money ever spent on anything ever. you can't take the risks you like. You can't possibly be as risky or interesting as you could if you're spending under like as little as people spend on like Super Meat Boy, costing them nothing because it was just the two of them making it. Like it, you can't possibly be as gutsy and crazy with it as you want to be. There's just too much money in the line.
I mean, I think that says a lot that the way that they advertised the game was just them, the characters standing there. Because I mean, that's okay. Before we wrap this up, I do want to point out to anyone that if you want to see how acting should be done in a video game, fucking Grand Theft Auto 5 is a fantastic.
Absolutely.
Take a look at the way that the characters are actually. Those actors are giving a performance through those characters, even with you playing them. Mm. Point of where it starts to feel weird because you're just like, I'm obviously not controlling this guy, even though I have full control over this character. He's not mine. He's not my version of Michael. He's just Michael. And maybe that's also some of my disinterest as well, is that I tend to, when I play games, I tend to have my character. That was my John Marston. Nobody knows my John Marston like I know my John Marston. Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, especially
I played a lot more Liar's Ace than I did, that's for sure.
I did. I played a lot of Red Dead. And I tend to play a lot of games like Fallout where I can become the character and I can have the character. I can explore the world and shades of me and my who I am. I can explore who I am through that world. I can try things out. I can experiment. I can see, like, I can push boundaries and be like, oh, shit, I pushed that too far. That guy died, and I didn't want that to happen. You know, and now I deeply regret that, and that's terrible. In Grand Theft Auto 5, like, I was like, I don't understand why. There was never a point in time in that game where I ever had any feelings towards his Michael's family, Trevor's lackeys, Franklin's aunt, I guess is the only thing.
She's the worst.
Bond that you have is between the three characters, and even that is tenuous at best. It's a very weird game. It's a very weird game. I wish more people would look at it critically, because I really wish that we could, as a society, do this with anything, of have one idea. And I'm sure we'll have a whole entire podcast about this later, because I know we will, because I scheduled keeping two ideas in your head at the same time. Two opposing ideas.
Oh, of course.
I feel like there's no room for that. And especially with Grand Theft Auto 5, it's hard to have room for that, because it's such a fucking shockingly impressive production.
Yeah.
That they had to do. Fucking the flip-flops animate, you know.
It's Avatar. Avatar was gorgeous and had a good enough story to get you to enjoy the whole thing. And not much more than that.
And then you walk out of Avatar being like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Yep. All right, well, do you have anything else to add? Because I think...
Not really.
So that just means we need to wrap up the next installment of Internet Boyfriends. Because there will be one. It'll be in episode 32, which is next week. Or next... time.
I'll go with next time, at least. Don't paint yourself in too much of a corner here.
Until next time, I'm Joey. Find me at Joey Hethlick on Twitter. And with me, as always, is
Ryan, and you can find me at Gobo on Twitter.
We are Internet Boyfriends, and we'll see you next time, and we love you all.
Take care.